For our last presentation of the day, we're going to talk about when things don't work out, combining winding down and dissolution issues. And our speakers are Pam Alexanderson and Nicholas McKissick. Let's tell you a little bit about Pam. She's practiced public accounting since 2008. She's a tax advisor for nonprofit entities, businesses, and individuals. At Moss Adams, her firm, she is a leader of tax services for exempt organizations in the central region of tax-exempt services. And Nicholas McKissick is with Holland & Knight. He's a private wealth services attorney in Holland & Knight's Dallas office. He focuses his practice on providing counseling for clients and charitable giving, philanthropy, and domestic and international tax-exempt organizations. Welcome. Thank you.
Last one of the day. Ooh, last one of the day. Now, hopefully we're going to have a little bit of fun. Like we were just introduced, my name's Nick McKissick, so it's great to be here with you guys today, and I'm here with my wonderful co-presenter, Pam. So we're going to get into it. And before we get into it, we're going to start out with dissolution, but I think we're going to try to, you know, kind of set the stage. And before we go into each section that we talk about, we're going to take a moment to just kind of talk about, you know, what got us here, right? What are the things that we're kind of thinking about? So starting out, you know, what kind of gets us to the point of dissolution or winding things down, right? And we're starting out with this slide just to kind of point out some of the things that typically or we tend to see that could happen, right, when a nonprofit corporation decides to, you know, wind things down or to terminate. And, you know, starting off with the first bullet, you know, one of those reasons could be is because, you know, they're fantastic and they resolve the issue, right? You know, nonprofit corporations are incorporated or formed to resolve and, you know, address a specific issue, right? And sometimes a charitable organization may decide, hey, right, we've addressed this specific issue and, right, we don't need to do this anymore, right? We've solved the problem of solving hunger in East Dallas, right? We've addressed the issue, right? Another issue that may present itself is, right, a lack of resources, a change in the economy, right? Nonprofit corporations or charitable organizations may decide to dissolve, right, because they don't have enough funding to keep the lights on, right, which is a terrible thing, but you see it all the time, right? Donor support tends to go with the wind, right? So whatever's, you know, popular at the moment, it may not be popular 2 to 3 years from now. So that's another thing that we tend to see. Other organizations, right? Sometimes we see other organizations that are just doing a fantastic job, right? So a newly created organization may decide, hey, right, there's a lot of legwork to running a charitable organization, right? So maybe it makes more sense for us to shut things down, to wind things down, and go support another organization, right? Does it typically tend to happen, right? Because we're all competitive and we think we can do great things, but that tends to happen sometimes too. And then finally, right, we have the involuntary termination, and that typically tends to happen when we have, you know, compliance or legal issues, right? Here in Texas, right, Texas nonprofit corporations are required to file a periodic annual report every 4 years, right? I've seen clients in my practice or, you know, I've seen organizations that just inadvertently forget to file the periodic report because, right, it's not something that I have to do every 4 years, right? Or it's something that I have to do every 4 years. I don't have to do it annually. And it just kind of slipped my mind because I have a whole lot of things that are going on. And hopefully that doesn't happen to anybody in here, but you know.
So one thing I might, a couple things I might add to that, Nick, is that if we have any private foundations in the room, typically private foundations are family foundations. And a lot of times, whoever starts the private foundation has a certain dream for what they want to accomplish. And unfortunately, that dream may not mirror with what the next generation wants to do. And so for private foundations, sometimes you can have a split between competing priorities of the family. And, you know, people may not want to continue generationally with what was originally set up. So there can be a whole host of issues from, you know, public charities have their own issues with respect to why things may not work out, but private foundations may have a whole other set of issues in terms of why they may not work out.